My unexpected blessing during lockdown is that now all three of my children can work the washing machine. It's also great to have that extra time to dig deeper into the Bible.
My unexpected blessing has been my job, working in the Ulster Hospital as part of the surgical team, has meant that while Dad has been in hospital, that I have been able to be kept informed about his condition, and I'm assured that he is in really capable hands when we as a family can't get to see him. It has truly been a blessing from
my
God.
Unexpected blessing from lockdown has been the opportunity to see so many different people in the church taking part, and to learn quite a bit about the lives of some of our friends who we only know from a distance. And thanks to some of the interviews that have been done, we are being enlightened into their backgrounds, and that has been a real blessing. Thank you.
Well, I want to give you a very warm welcome to another Sunday morning broadcast from Hamon Row Baptist Church. And we've been delighted that so many of you have been watching over these last weeks and months, particularly if you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ. We really hope and pray that today that you might see Jesus in all of his glory. We're going to look at another amazing story in the Bible where we follow the footsteps of Jesus as he calls a number of ordinary, simple men to be his disciples. So it would be our prayer that if you're a Christian, that you might become more like Jesus today. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, that as you listen to this story, that you might give your heart and your life to him. I'm going to hand over to the team. You're going to lead us in our opening song.
Strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. You are working. Still to prosper, you have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You are wisdom. Your promises are my delight. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Even what the enemy for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good, for your glory. dwelling in the valley, you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good and for your glory. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good and for your glory. Even in the valley, you are faithful. Forgotten us, you're with us in the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, perfect in love, you are sovereign over us. Faithful forever, perfect in love, you are sovereign over us.
The song Sovereign Over Us, a wonderful reminder that the Lord is King and that He is in control. Even when there's chaos all around us, and even when it looks like everything has just spun into disarray, the Lord is still in control. He is still sovereign. Even what the enemy means for evil, God can turn it for our good and for His glory. I'm going to sing another shorter song now called Great Big God. It's a song written for kids, but you know, sometimes it's good to remind ourselves in really simple language of the fact that God is huge and that He can do anything and that He's good enough to hold us in His hands.
Boys and girls, it's great to be with you here this morning. Mandy and I are going to talk to you this morning about Jesus and about when Jesus was an adult and when Jesus started His ministry. Jesus chose 12 very, very important people to be His helpers, called disciples.
Well, William, does that mean then He chose all the really clever people?
Nope.
Or He maybe went looking for the richest people?
Nope.
Or the very strong people?
Nope, not even the very strong people.
Oh, well, okay. So let's have a look. In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 4, it says very clearly that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee and he saw two brothers in a boat. And they were fishermen, just simple fishermen who were probably a bit smelly, to be honest. So he stopped and went to them. William, have you got those fishermen?
I have got these fishermen.
One of them is called Simon Peter and the other one is called Andrew. And Jesus went up to them and he said, come, follow me. I will send you out to go fishing, but fishing for people. And you know what they did? They stopped straight away. They left what they were doing and they went and they followed Jesus. Now, I don't think that would happen in our house, would it?
Well, no, because we're really tidy in our house, but, you know, most of the time anyway.
Mess. We would have to tidy it. And there were nets everywhere. Their boats hadn't been put away. There was everything. But they didn't have to tidy up.
Well, do you know, I think it must have been really, really important then for them to leave a mess.
Must have been.
Really important.
And Jesus just said, come now. And they did it. Well, Jesus carried on walking along the Sea of Galilee and he found two more fishermen. They were found, can I help you, Tom?
Oh, yeah, please.
They were called James and John. There they are. And Jesus said the same thing. Come and follow me. I will send you out to fish for people. And they did exactly the same thing. They stopped immediately and they came and they followed Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't leave it there. With just these four guys, he decided to have 12 disciples. So bear with us. Yes, let's have a look. We have, go for it, William, Matthew and Philip.
Were they fishermen?
No, Matthew was a tax collector.
Oh, right, so they're all different.
I'm not quite sure what Philip did, but they had lots of different jobs.
Oh, right, that's interesting.
And Bartholomew and Thomas.
You take Thomas, you got
maybe.
Thomas. I take Thomas.
And James, and Simon, and Thaddeus, and Judas.
Oh, we're on there.
People. There we go. 12 disciples. Did I say everybody, William? I'm not sure, but there they are. 12 disciples, all there to help Jesus. And each
all
one
different.
Of them were different.
Yeah.
Go for it.
All different. Well, boys and girls, you know, that's really interesting that Jesus chose all these people. He didn't choose them because they were the best fishermen. He didn't choose them because they were the really, really good or really strong or really brave or really clever. He chose them because of just who they were and he knew who to choose. And that's like us, boys and girls, today. God knows, Jesus knows us, and he chooses us just the way we are, and we don't have to be the best or the bravest or the strongest, but Jesus chooses us to be his disciples for him today.
Thank you so much for listening. Take care.
Bye.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralysed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him.
Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us through
lockdown, and we can now see the summer ahead. We thank you for all the families that we have within our church and all the different shapes and sizes of our families. We pray, Lord, that as summer begins, that you would just give us wisdom and give us fun as families and help us to build our relationships this year. Lord, we thank you for the lockdown beginning to ease. But Lord, we just pray for wisdom for our church leaders and our members. And we pray, Lord, that as decisions, difficult decisions have to be made, we pray that you would give wisdom and peace to each involved. Lord, we thank you that you called your disciples to come and follow you. And Lord, as your disciples, as individuals, Lord, those who are saved within our church, we just pray that you would help us to just come and follow you, to do what you ask of us. And Lord, the disciples immediately left their boats and willingly followed you. I pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength to do the same. In your name we pray. Amen.
You feel the shadows deepen.
We do.
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this?
Yes.
Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and a kingdom and praise to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? He is.
The society we live in has always wanted to follow someone or something. Looking back into history, as people followed perceived great leaders, perhaps into battle, perhaps on the sports field, perhaps leaders in their field of expertise who have paved the way for others coming after them. Or perhaps it's following a cause that we feel strongly about. If we look everywhere in society, we are following things. We are followers. Perhaps it's following someone on Twitter or on Facebook, a YouTuber, perhaps who we think has got something good to say, something worth listening to or watching. Are we following the latest fashion? Do we follow the latest fitness regime or diet plan? You insert the one which most relevantly applies to you. There is something in us that wants to follow. There's something in the way that we were made, perhaps, even to our core, that wants to follow. And this is pushed at us every day, to follow what my heart and my flesh desires. To follow whatever feels good, to follow instant gratification, to follow whatever you want. But the things of this earth we are drawn to fade away. They disappoint, or they come up short. They could even do us harm, or our friendships or our relationships harm. But Jesus is calling us to follow him. Not these earthly things, not these selfish desires, but follow him, the one who never changes or fades away, the one who alone can satisfy, to follow after his heart, to follow after what he desires, to follow his call to become fishers of men. Matthew writes in the 20th chapters of his book to ultimately point us to see King Jesus on his pages, to prove that Jesus is God's King. And this section in front of us this morning, in fact, right from chapter 4, verse 12, is all one section introducing us to the start of the ministry of the King. God's perfect timing is all over the start of Jesus's ministry. As we have read on previous Sunday mornings from the early chapters of Matthew, John the Baptist's ministry prepared the way for God's coming King. The baptism of Jesus, where God the Father proclaimed, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Last week, we explored how Jesus was tempted by the devil and yet was triumphant, the only perfect God-man. And as we read in verse 12 of Matthew 4, Jesus hears of the arrest of John the Baptist and moves up to Galilee, basing himself in Capernaum to fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah, as we see in verse 15 and 16 here. "Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Jesus, the light of the world, has moved to Capernaum. A light has dawned. The ministry of the King begins. Matthew summarizes Jesus' ministry in verse 23. He says, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people." Matthew summarizes Jesus' early ministry in one verse: teaching, preaching, and healing. But the chapters which follow are an expansion of this verse. In Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, we see the teaching of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, which we're looking a lot more depth into in our June Sunday evening series. And then in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Matthew, we see the examples of the miracles and the healings of Jesus. The words and the works of the ministry of Jesus prove that he is God's chosen King. With the time we have this morning, I would like us to focus, as Jesus' ministry begins, on two things that I believe God wants us to follow. Firstly, to follow after the heart of the King, which comes out of every aspect of his ministry. And secondly, to follow the call of the King. So firstly, follow the heart of the King. What was Jesus' message in his ministry? And in verse 17 of Matthew 4, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. These are the very same words that John the Baptist brought to the crowds. With John the Baptist, the news was one of judgment. Repent of your sins, turn of your ways, get right with God, because the kingdom is coming. But in Christ, there is good news. And it says in verse 23, Jesus was preaching the good news of the kingdom. Good news was for the crowds who were listening to him, and it's good news still for us today. The good news starts with us turning from our ways and turning to Christ. But through Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. And in turning to Christ, we are welcomed into the King's kingdom, citizens of heaven, children of God. This is the heart of Jesus' teaching, and this reflects the heart of God the Father. God's heart is for the lost. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God's heart is that none would be lost. His great work is to give up his Son to death on a cross so that it might be possible for man to come to God. Is your and my heart longing for the same thing, that none would be lost? Luke 19 verse 10 says, "The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." Winning the lost is the greatest concern of Jesus Christ. In John 16, we're told that the Spirit works to convict us of our sin so that we will know our need to come to Christ and receive forgiveness. The Spirit is showing us we are lost and we need to be saved. This is the heart of our triune God. This became the greatest concern for the apostles too. Certainly of Paul, who says in 1 Corinthians 9, "I will become all things to all men, that by some means I may win them for Christ." And it was the greatest concern of the early church, who were scattered in Acts 8, but everywhere they went, they preached Christ Jesus, endeavouring to win people to him. If this is the greatest concern of God's heart, that no one be lost, and the greatest work of the apostles and the early church, that they would reach the lost with the good news of the kingdom of God, if I am following after the heart of God, should that not be my heart's greatest concern? Should that not stir me to do all that I can to reach those who don't know Christ as Saviour and Lord? What about your heart's greatest concern too? Is it for the lost? Do we need to pray? I know I need to. For my heart to be changed, shaped for the concern of God's, the concern for the lost, to be broken for the lost. I'm sure even now, as we reflect on this challenge, you can think of family or friends or colleagues who don't yet follow Christ. Will we be praying that God would speak to them, show himself to them? Would we be praying that they become our greatest concern? Would we be praying for opportunities to speak to them of our faith in Christ? Would we be praying for boldness and sensitivity and how best to point them to Christ? It is in living a contagious Christian life. It's in our faith being real and genuine in all the challenges that we face in life. And it is having Christ on our lips that when we have an opportunity to speak of him, we will take it and point people to Christ. Oh, how my heart needs to change, and the concerns of my heart need to fall more in line with what God's concerns are, the concern for the lost. The works of Jesus too prove that the kingdom of God is coming, and even show a foretaste of what the heavenly kingdom will be like. Revelation 21 says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. But the works of Jesus also reflect the heart of God. And I wish I had more time to delve into this morning. But God is a God of compassion, we see, whose greatest concern, yes, is that none would be lost spiritually, but he cares for the needs of the people too. He reaches out and heals those who need healing. He meets their physical need. No matter what you're struggling through or facing at the moment, be encouraged that you can bring all your burdens before the Lord, that you can rest in him, remain in him, and know his rest for weary souls.
Holy, 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 holy.
So secondly, follow the call of the King. As we're introduced to Simon Peter and his brother Andrew in verse 18 here, and the brothers James and John in verse 21, and their call to follow the King, we need to first realize that this is not the first time that they have come face to face with Jesus. In fact, if we turn to John chapter 1, we read that Andrew and John's decision to follow Jesus was there, their conversion, if you like. And then after that, Simon Peter's and Philip's and Nathaniel's personal call from Jesus to follow him. This is a call not just to follow him physically from fishing village to fishing village, but to follow him with all their hearts and their lives, to understand that he was God's chosen king and to surrender all to him. I don't know if you know Jesus this morning, and if you don't, he calls to you personally by name to say, come, follow me, make me your king, make me your saviour. I wonder, will you answer that call even this morning? But Christian, Jesus' call for us is to be fishers of men, to fish for souls. So in the passage before us today, we read of Jesus' second calling, if you like, of these men, to call four fishermen to become fishers of men, to leave behind their nets and go. Go and point others to Jesus. I'm struck by God's evangelism strategy here. Jesus is calling people to follow him so that he can train them and send them out to win people to himself. Sure, Jesus had the power to reach all people with the good news of the kingdom of God, but that was not God's plan. Jesus never intended to win people by himself, by his preaching. There was to be fishing for people. God wants men and women, boys and girls. He wants you and he wants me to go and make disciples of all nations. For you and I are to be the ones through whom the Great Commission is fulfilled. In Corinthians 5, verse 20, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. God's plan is plain. His strategy is certain. His call is clear. We are to be his mouthpiece. We are to be his ambassadors, his chosen people. Why? To point people to Christ, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. There isn't a plan B. If I will not speak of Christ, who else will? If I do not stand up for Christ amongst my mates in the staff room, who else will tell them of Christ? I may be the only Christian they know. If I do not represent Christ in my teaching and in my coaching, who else will? Perhaps those boys only know one Christian and it's me. And we are told that this will not be easy, that this will not be without opposition, that this will have its cost. But friend, we have been chosen by God for this task. Are we prepared to drop our nets, whatever that may mean for you and for me, and follow Jesus to win souls for God? But maybe you say in response, Dawe, I'm a quiet, I'm a shy person, or I'm not very good at talking about my faith, or this is not an area of my gifting. Jesus chose fishermen, men who were unschooled, some who were possibly illiterate, with no worldly wisdom or religious learning. If you like, they were raw material that showed no potential, just raw material. And God chooses them to be fishers of men. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:26, when you were called, not many of you were wise, not many of you were influential, not many of you were noble. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. That is me described in those verses. And that is you. God just wants our raw material. Whether we feel we have potential or not, he wants our raw potential and he wants our obedience. Did these first disciples have a passion for souls? I seriously doubt it. Do we have a heart after our fathers, whose greatest concern is the lost? Nowhere near as much as I should. But these simple men started with obedience to follow Christ's call, and Christ shaped them into fishers of men, fishers for souls. What Jesus calls us to is simply to be obedient and move out in faith. He calls each of us to drop our nets and follow him and fish for souls. I wonder even this morning, will you follow his call?
Our last song today is a song of response to the things we've been hearing about God's heart for the world. And it's about us playing our part in God's kingdom as we understand the heart of the King and what it means for our world to know the good news about Jesus. King of Heaven, we will answer the call and we'll bring hope to the world. Salvation in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us today for our Sunday broadcast, and thanks to everybody who has taken part. And if you are not a Christian, we hope that you have heard the call and the heart and the love of Jesus for you today, and that you would even give your life to him. If you are a Christian already, we hope this has encouraged you in your faith to follow him even more closely in the week ahead. Let's close our broadcast in prayer. Father, thank you for the heart of Christ for the lost, that he would leave the glories of heaven and come to earth. And even while on earth, that he would look on the outsider, on the outcast, on those who are messed up, of those who are seemingly insignificant, and call them to serve him, call them into his family, and call them into an inheritance in heaven that will never spoil, perish, or fade. And Father, thank you for many of us that is us. Would you help us to glory in that? For those who don't yet know that reality, Father, pray that the day would be day one of their
experience of following Jesus, that they would bow the knee to him. Father, I do pray for wisdom in these days ahead. And Father, even as we think about watching deeper into the word tonight, as we continue in the Beatitudes, Father, would you help us to hear your word, to let your word wash over us like water, and to become more like Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. And have a good day.